You are listening to a sermon by Janet Bolt, recorded on Sunday, November 25th, 2018, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
It's really good to be here this morning and to see so many familiar faces and to feel such a warm welcome. So thank you. Thank you for that. I also wanted to say thank you, Travis. You and I should have written this talk together because your reflections were very astute. And Curtis, is this? Yes, thank you for your choice of songs this morning. They seem very appropriate. I was also talking to Henry this morning, and he said that if you don't call it a sermon, then you can share reflections. And so that's more the tone of my talk today. A few things have prompted what I've chosen to speak about today. First, my grandmother's life story. Over 100 years ago, my grandmother, Emma Molman, can't even quite say it, sat down typically on a Sunday afternoon with a little pencil crayon or a fountain pen, if she could find one, a little notebook or a scrap piece of paper, and she poured out her heart. Part journal, part daytimer, part prayer book, these entries have been part of my experience since the year 2000, when my mother and I began to work on them, and my mother, fortunately, was still able to read my grandmother's very scribbled writing in German. Last year, I began work on this again. Where's Peter? Where are you sitting? Way. Peter Newdorf became my companion as he translated from the German, and I began to write the document of my grandmother's life. My mother suddenly passed away in the year 2000, and so everything had been halted, but I picked that up as my retirement project. My grandmother Emma was a teller of stories. I remember curling up in a very warm quilt that she had created with her own hands and listening to her retell her adventures as a deaconess, which is sort of a nurse dedicated to the Lord, in a small orphanage in far-off Ukraine. She wrote a diary of these years when she was between the ages of 19 and 29. Now, I came to be part of her life in 1952 when she was already 58 years old and she lived to see her 97th birthday. Diaries only reveal moments in time, don't they? When she snatched a few minutes here and there to record what was going on for her, she was seeking either to dispel her fears or to try to capture in some small way the significance of what was happening in her life. Her view of events was really very limited, but she wrote from the heart, and she was one beautiful human being caught in time and space who was yearning for meaning. A second impetus for the talk this morning were actually the final words of King David in our lectionary text this morning. His words seemed to speak of a life of where he knew who he was and what his life's purpose was. He was able to say, "For God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure." Veronica, in her moving sermon last week, I was able to listen to it online, talked about Hannah's life, and she remarked that God is active in our stories and walks with us. As my father, at the age of almost 96, slowly declines and forgets his own story, I think about life journeys and how we make sense of them. A life can be compared to a journey that twists and turns and unfolds as we go along. We know from experience that neither the journey nor the stories we tell about this journey are ever straightforward. In June of 2017, I retired from a 25-year teaching career at Columbia Bible College and entered an alternate landscape. My husband, Ernie, semi-retired in September of 2017, And so together we are rumbling around in the same home spaces and sorting out what's next. I wonder about how we can navigate the contours of significant change in our lives. The twists and turns of a lifetime with careers ending or beginning, marriage and family changes, a slow demise of a deeply loved parent, the loss of a loved one, and health shifts, physical moves, and so on. I've wondered about journeys and about maps and the telling of stories. I realize that even in an era where we have global positioning devices available, we cannot be sure where we are going or how we will find our way. I thought I'd share some ponderings related to these images. These are not words spoken with absolute confidence like King David, nor hopefully are they my last words. But they do hold meaning for me as I navigate the life I've been given. So perhaps a thought or two might be a gift for you. When I was a child, our family went on many road trips across Canada and the United States. We grew up in the Niagara region, and my family lived here in the Fraser Valley, so our treks were frequent and mostly to see family and always with some adventures along the way. I learned about maps and how to read them as a child. I loved the unfolding of a new map and poring over it with my mother. From the back seat, I would glance over her shoulder while we were driving, and I could see the squiggly lines that marked our pathway and recognize the shapes of rivers and lakes. In our era of global positioning systems, maps seem unnecessary. Our GPS will tell us exactly where we need to go and even ask us to turn around if we get lost. The one in my car can be quite insistent. Turn around! Turn around now! It can feel very helpful to have a clear, objective voice devoid of all judgment, making one's pathway clear. Now, when Ernie and I go traveling, one of the things he knows about me is that I insist on getting maps for the journey. I have a membership at BC Automobile Association, and I'm thrilled that they'll still put together these little notebooks based on where you might be headed. Maps enhance my experience of traveling. With a GPS, one can only see as far as the screen allows, and the lines on the screen neglect really to give any perspective. There's no evidence of the topography, the relative closeness or distance to bodies of water, the linkages between the one place and the larger region, and there's no context of history and geography. And even with the BCAA, they actually give you little things, little descriptions along the way that give you more of a sense of where you're going. So I'd like to suggest a few thoughts about related to maps and journeys, wherever they might be taking us. First, we can count on getting lost. A GPS is designed to prevent us from taking any detours. For me, sometimes the detours have been the best. Those times when we have lost our way, but discovered amazing little backwater towns or breathtaking scenery or a quaint little restaurant. On old maps, there was sometimes an expression inscribed on the edges of the known world, "Beyond this, there be dragons." Sometimes, when we might go beyond the GPS, we are instructed by insistent, disembodied voice to turn around, when just beyond the bend is an unexpected adventure. Following my graduation from college, I dedicated my life in Fresno's inner city. All my energy and focus was on a career path of ministry among the disenfranchised. Then everything came to an abrupt and premature stop. I floundered and felt that everywhere I turned, there were dragons on the edges of my map. I was lost. I had no idea where I was or even where I was supposed to be. Perhaps you've already encountered seasons of this in your life. We know we will encounter them again. King David appeared so confident in his last words to the Israelites, but we know he got lost many times along the way. Jesus wasn't lost, but it must have appeared that way to those who were hoping he would take the Romans by storm and establish a perfect kingdom. At a time when most would be raring to get on with it, Jesus disappeared into a desert He wandered away from public life for 40 days and in the end died a horrible death. My grandmother's life stood poised in one direction, but political events and heartbreak took her to a completely different place. Life has these twists. We're ready to go, and then we get lost. And our ready-made dreams and plans arrive at a detour. Theologian Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "Getting lost means you can no longer afford to stay unconscious. We're so accustomed to moving from point A to B that we can go on autopilot and miss most of what is happening around us. When we lose our way, it can be a gift of consciousness." Arriving at detours or getting lost is all part of the journey. I got lost on my way to spending the rest of my life in inner city ministry. And surprise, I ended up at Columbia for 25 years. And for many of those years here among all of you. This lostness was not pleasant at first, but I've encountered a gold mine here in a place I could never have imagined. Moses and his people wandered around a desert for 40 years and finally learned to become God's people rather than Pharaoh's. David wandered through many depths of valleys. Jesus fasted and prayed in his desert experience and emerged knowing what was ahead for him. My grandmother's journey took her to Canada and to Ontario, where I was born, and she lived to share her stories of God's faithfulness with me. Second, we can count on being found. In my months of recovery from ministry burnout, I was surprised at how difficult it was to find my way. This was no easy GPS realignment so that within a few hours or days I was back on track. Rather, it was months, even years of disorientation. And then, looking back, I could see that all along the way was being directed for me. In the moments when I felt so lost, God was nudging me, nurturing me, closing doors and windows in one direction so that new vistas would open elsewhere. A Quaker named Ruth once said, "In 60-plus years of living, way has never opened in front of me, but a lot of way has closed behind me, and that has had the same guiding effect." A GPS would have us believe that if we just keep following the line on the screen, all will be well. But in life, we don't often find our way by a clear, linear path. Rather, there is a mystery to it. On every mariner's map, there is something that is called a compass rose. The compass rose has been an aid on the seas for centuries. As long as the sailors could find the true north, they would be able to navigate their way through the confusing ocean swells. Often, when we've experienced being lost and find our way back home, we discover it's not the same world we are stepping into. The landscape has often changed. Establishing our own true north is critical. The technical world of GPS can let us down. We all need to know our inner compass. In our lectionary text from today, John in Revelation speaks of this true north. The Alpha and the Omega, the one who loves us, the Almighty who was and is to come. The psalmist prayed with confidence in his true north, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." Third, we travel best with friends who can tell us stories along the way. A well-known African proverb, you've probably heard it, puts it this way: if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. The writer of Ecclesiastes affirms this: two are better than one. If they fall down, one can help the other up. But pity those who fall and have no friend to help them up. I thought about your remark about Hannah, how no one should suffer alone. During my many years in ministry, I was nurtured and supported by thoughtful and wise friends and guides. One in particular, Roselle Kamalian, used to call her the little old lady from Pasadena because she really was little and old and she was eventually living in Pasadena. But when I first met her, she was in Fresno. She was my strong advocate and friend for over 30 years. I met her when I first arrived in Fresno to work with this inner city organization. She invited me for lunch every month to ask how I was. Not how the ministry was doing, how I was doing. She took me in when I was broken. She nudged me to go to seminary, and she wrote me a letter each week until she died. I am wearing out this heart necklace that she presented to me when I graduated from Fuller Seminary, the same year that I began to work at Columbia Bible College. I have learned I cannot travel alone. As Peter and I have been translating my grandmother's diaries, we have experienced the power of stories from someone who has gone before. My grandmother told me stories as I grew up, stories that inspired me and gave me courage when I needed it, and taught me to keep on believing in the true north, even when I felt lost. And now these stories are shaping me again as I gather them into a book. Always we need wise traveling companions. This is not part of any GPS. A GPS will provide clues to a direction, but will not inform you that the best overall plan is to ask for help along the way. Peter Rollins wrote, "In theology we hold, in faith we are held." When our theology does not seem adequate for where we find ourselves, when we get lost or end up on a detour, we will need to remember we are held by God and by a community of fellow travelers. I would never have found my way to British Columbia or to a meaningful career and to many adventures, nor navigated my way through these years without the rich gift of nurturing authentic companions, including many of you. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves. We need companions who will listen to us, who will tell us stories of hope and faith and courage, who will walk with us, who will examine the map with us, and remind us of our true north. In closing, I'd like to share a short prayer by Jan Richardson for wherever our map may be taking us. In this and every season, may you travel toward the place God desires for you. May you walk in the company of those who know the way. May you go well. Amen.